podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Morning, afternoon, evening, everybody. It's just me alone. Apologies for Pras and Zoff both not being there. Pras is actually traveling with the family. He's in little Orissa, and he said that he's actually on the way to Delhi and then flying back to the UK. Next week, I promise all three of us will be there together. I was actually looking to pod on Wednesday with Alon, but I haven't been in the best of health. Today also not feeling, not 100%, but 75%. So thought I'd at least just get some content out there for you guys. Zoff himself has not been keeping well all week. He's dealing with high fever. Get well soon, Zoff. And you'll be seeing all three of us before the big double game week 34 pod. I don't know how big that is going to be because of the fixture congestion, which we're going to address later in the pod. But something happened in the last 10 days, which was pretty cool. Two members of the FPL Wire met for the first time in real life. So I got to finally meet the champ, that is Pras. He looks even more beautiful in person. And it was quite a nice little evening. Pras is even more special in real life. Conversation with him flies by. The first 2 minutes, when both of us really spotted each other, it's awkward. Because you're like, okay, he doesn't look like how he looks on camera. And Pras said the exact same thing to me. Where you're seeing this person you've seen online for the last 7, 8, 9 years, and you haven't met in person. So the first 2 minutes were awkward, but after that, man, it was like long lost friends from years ago. Conversation flew by. Pras unfortunately had a heart stop at about 11:30 in the night. Otherwise, I think this would have been a 3 a.m. night easy. And the conversation was so easy that I think we met at about 6:37 in the evening. And I checked the watch and it was 10:30, and I was surprised that it was already 10:30. For those of you all that don't know, this is the first time. Zoff lives in Chennai, I live in Bombay, and neither of us have met yet. Hopefully, this year, 2024, is when I meet Zoff. Hopefully, he gives us a call for his wedding, because that's something Pras and I discussed. We've already planned his bachelor's. We've already planned his wedding. But he's not dating anybody at the moment. Nothing is in the pipeline, but we're just building our dreams, because that's what life's about. Right, getting back to FPL, we're going to be discussing Arsenal, Liverpool, Spurs. If you guys have any questions, we're going to be taking them right at the end for the pod as well. And Alon's in the chat. Sorry, Alon. I had to not pod with you on Wednesday. I've been asking him for last night and today morning as well. But he's obviously has his own podcast, FML FPL, if you haven't checked it out. All right, let's get into the thing of things. And apologies if I'm rusty because I've not been keeping too well. And doing solo is something I'm not really used to. But let's start with the sponsor plugs. As you know, all the stats that you see on this podcast are from the Fantasy Football Scout members area. Double Game Week 34 is coming up. Double Game Week 37 is coming up. If you need to make decisions really, really quickly, a 15-minute, 20-minute meander in the members area is really, really useful, which helps with data, which helps you, gives you concise information that you can't get over watching 3-4 games. So, if you want to become a member and if you want to support us, please click on the link in the description below. And this episode is also sponsored by NordVPN. As you already know, that FPL Wire has partnered with NordVPN. If you're bored of the streaming libraries in your country, and especially if you're somebody living outside of India and want to watch the IPL, I've been watching the IPL. It's a lot of entertainment. Mumbai are finally back into the swing of things. It was nice to see Hardik Pandya not get booed, but there's a little bit of PR behind that. So, if you don't have access to IPL in your country and if you want to watch it, get NordVPN. With NordVPN, you can access content outside of your region, get access to a wider library on your favorite streaming services, and see you're traveling outside your country, you can access your home library content as well. It also has a very efficient anti-malware and anti-spyware protection. It highlights any attack and deletes it before making a mess of your computer. Grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to the link in the description below, nordvpn.com/theFPLwire, to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan plus 4 months extra for free. It's completely risk-free. It comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So yeah, click on the link in the description below. Cool. Let's get into the swing of things. Now, how do we go about this? I think maybe just talk about the three teams that I really want to talk about first. Arsenal, Liverpool, and Man City. And I want to talk a little bit about the fixture congestion. I want to talk about how double game week 34 for Arsenal and Liverpool needs to be treated with a pinch of salt in terms of which players are looking to attack, which players are not looking to get, etc. Because there might be some rotation. Let me just see if there's any comments. Is sound and everything fine? It sounds fine. So we're going to be good to go. All right, let's look at Arsenal first, right? They've got a fixture run where they've got Aston Villa at home. in 33 this week. Aston Villa without Doug Luiz, for example, for information. Doug Luiz got his 10th yellow card, so he's going to miss 33, and he's going to miss the first, and he's going to miss 34 because Aston Villa don't have a double game week. So, you know, Solanke owners, you're going to face an Aston Villa without Doug Luiz in game week 34. Arsenal then play Wolves and Chelsea in 34. After that, they have Spurs, who look leaky. They have Bournemouth, who've been a little wobbly, especially in defense of late. Then United, who have conceded 20 shots in a row for five straight matches. We are probably bottom three, bottom five defense at the moment. And then they have Everton. So, you know, people that are wildcarding in 35 are probably not going to have any Arsenal. But that's going to be risky business because Arsenal are looking up for it at the moment. Now, what I wanted to address when it comes to Arsenal is their schedule. Now, when you look at this, before the Aston Villa home game, after the Bayern game, which is, you know, at 2-2 right now. So, you'd expect that Arsenal have to play sort of first team. And they have to because Bayern played really well in that game. We thought that Arsenal would wipe the floor clean against Bayern, but Bayern did really well. And they will need to play their first team. So, what's happening after game week 33? Before game week 33, they have a substantial enough rest. Then there's only a two-day gap. Then they've got Bayern away. Then there's only a two-day gap. Then there's another away game against Wolves. Then they have a two-day gap. Then they have a home game against Chelsea. After which they've got a four-day gap and they've got Spurs away. So it's just not that they've got two-day gaps, four games in a row. By two-day gap, I mean 2 days rest and the game on the third day. It's two of the ties are away as well. So you could see some limited minutes. You could see some rotation. I think Saka in the last 7-8 games has probably played under 70 minutes on 75 to 80% of the occasions. Whereas Sky has played under 75 minutes just once. So, you know, when it comes to expected minutes, with Saka managing the sort of niggle that he has, if you're somebody who's on a free hit 34, do you zag against penalty-taking Saka? It's your call. But this is the information presented to you. It depends on how fit he's looking, etc., etc. Plus, you know, when it comes to Arsenal, Liverpool and City, I don't worry too much about rotation. Like, I don't exaggerate the rotation in my head because they're in the title race. They can't even give a point to each other. In fact, they have to try scoring more goals and focus on goal difference as well. So, take that with a pinch of salt. But if you're somebody who has two Arsenal players only, if let's say you've got a Saka and a Gabriel, and you're looking for a third player, the decision between Kai and a second Arsenal defender is a really, really tough one. Just look at the numbers here. I'm going to just zoom in here. This is last six matches data for Arsenal. Now, if you're looking at it, non-penalty XGI for Kai in the last six matches is 3.93. And then for Saka is 2.58. So Kai is definitely getting, has the most strongest underlying data in that Arsenal attack. He is right now the talisman in that attack. One thing I do want to bring to your notice though, is that his delta. He's finishing way above his usual standards where he's on a hot streak at the moment. His delta, his goals, his goals and assists minus NP XGI is at the rate of plus 4.07. So he's finishing above the norm at the moment. I checked with Zoff. He was pretty much at par when it comes to goals versus XG in his previous club. And at Chelsea, he was below. So this is definitely a hot streak. But at the moment, he's the main guy for Arsenal. Martinelli right now is sharing minutes with Gabriel Jesus. Saka should start most of the games. I won't be surprised if he maybe gets benched in one, but I'm expecting 60, 65 minutes, like how Arteta is doing. Because the games, you know, Wolves away, Villa home, Chelsea away, they're not easy games. Arsenal can't afford to drop points in these games because they've got tougher tests ahead. Out of the three teams in the title race, Arsenal by far have the toughest fixtures. Underlying data for Odegaard is 2.36, Gabriel Jesus is 2.25. It could also be a game where, you know, Gabriel Jesus maybe gets some minutes instead of Saka or even Kai in that center forward position. But the prospects for Kai just look really good. There's a quote from Arteta that I wanted to cite to you guys. I'll just quickly bring that up, where he says that, let me just read out this quote for you guys. He says that he's certainly having a huge impact on the team. I think his overall performances have been really good, and now his numbers in terms of goal contributions are really, really high. He needs to maintain that level. I think the understanding between the attacking players today was superb. I think they really had a purpose and connection and a lot of clarity against them, and we created many chances. A lot of time, this is the most important bit. A lot of the time, players decide where they have to play, and we have certain ideas, but then you see certain relationships and some things flow. And when it flows, you have to let it go. And I think at the moment, Kai is flowing and he's really feeling comfortable as a striker. And the rest of the team is comfortable with him there and are hoping that things naturally. So what Arteta is saying is, even if he has ideas in place, the team chemistry is the team chemistry. And right now they're just liking playing around Kai. So, you know, I think it's pretty obvious now that Kai is probably Arsenal's best attacker to go for right now, even if you're looking at free hit 34, like me and Zoff. We could consider swerving Saka if we had to go for Arsenal defense double. Or it's a decision to make next week when we see more minutes this week against Aston Villa as well. But Kai really has to be there. If you're on free hit, I think in a place where, you know, people who are not free hitting in 34 can't afford to get in a Kai, this is a place to swerve, in my opinion. Arsenal defense, though, is ridiculous. I think in the last 9 games, they've got 7 or something clean sheets. In this calendar year, they've conceded only 4 big chances. City, for example, have conceded 18 big chances more. That is how much superior the Arsenal defense is compared to City or anybody else at the moment. And even if you're thinking of mildly zagging against somebody like a Gabriel, look at the stat. Shots in the box in 23-24, Gabriel's got 26 and the rest of the defense has 27. Big chances, Arsenal, Gabriel is 6 and the rest of the defense has 7 big chances. So whatever you do, man, whatever you're thinking, even if you're chasing by 100 points, do not zag Gabriel. I think the question has to be one Arsenal attacker, one Arsenal defender, and then maybe you think whether you want to go for 2 Arsenal defenders or 3 Arsenal defenders, because it's about replacement value. There might be more picks in attack because Liverpool's attack is worth going for. That's something you worry about. The factor that matters here is that if you think about the 2-day gap for all the games, whether it's Bayern away, Wolves away, Chelsea away, the centre-backs just seem secure for expected minutes. I would think Kai also seems secure, but you know, it's tight at the moment. Even White, for example, Tomiyasu's back. So I won't be surprised if he's randomly benched in one game. He's a fitness monster, so I wouldn't be worrying about that too much. All right, so that's Arsenal. Let me see if there's any questions, comments, anything of that sort. Seems to be okay. Okay, seems to be okay. You guys just leave your questions for the end of the episode so that, you know, I'm not actually having a look at the chat because talking solo, so trying to focus on what I have to say in terms of information. Right, Liverpool. Now let's talk about Liverpool. Their fixture list is congested as well. They lost 3-0 yesterday against Atlanta, and Salah played 30 minutes, Darwin played 60 minutes. Darwin had an XG of 0.84 and didn't have a goal or assist to show for it. XG of 0.84, if I'm not mistaken, didn't have a goal or assist to show for it. So he's a little bit of a bad streak when it comes to finishing. And I wonder, with Jota played 15 minutes, Gakpo did really well, but I think he played 90 minutes. And Diaz played 45 minutes or 30 minutes, if I'm not mistaken, as well. So I think Diaz looks really safe. Saka looks really safe for the home game against Crystal Palace. But I am a little worried about Darwin's minutes. And one thing I worry, think about, Liverpool lost 3-0 at home. Are they just going to throw the kids in the away tie, or are they going to go for it? That's something that I'm not sure about, because it could be a case where his second string team plays the away tie if Klopp wants to just throw away the Europa League. But even outside of that, the schedule is tough, right? They've got a 2-day gap to Crystal Palace home. Then they've got a 3-day gap before Atlanta away. Then there's an away game where they're traveling, where they've got Fulham? Yeah. I'm just going to make this little... They've got a 2-day gap before Fulham at home. Then they've got a 2-day gap before Everton away. Then they've got West Ham away. So Everton doesn't count. But again, you're looking at 2-day gaps only. And then you're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4 away ties in a row. So that screams a little bit of rotation to me. So I need to be worried. And I think for free hitters like me, when you're building a free hit 34 team, I think rest and rotation and expected minutes is something we're going to take into consideration a lot. And this is eventually going to be determined by the Atlanta away tie, who starts that game. And we're going to try to sort of reverse that and see who's likely to start 34. What do we talk about Liverpool at the moment? Let's look at the numbers very quickly. Right. Diaz, man. He has been absolutely on it. I think it's the last 12 games. He's missed only one game that he hasn't started. He's playing 90 minutes on most occasions. His NPXGI right now is pretty much equal to Salah. So again, for free hitters, You just have to go Luis Diaz because he looks so on it at the moment. And if he doesn't play that Atlanta away tie, he's nailed on a free hit. It looks really, really good. His underlying numbers just look really good. In fact, he's on a little bit of a delta minus two compared to his XGI. So he's underperforming his underlying data. Nunes is at 3.83 and he's quite not matching up to the underlying data that Diaz and Salah have provided. So that's something that to keep in mind when you're picking up players. I have Darwin at the moment and I wonder if I swore him. Swerve him on a free hit, because what's happened is that Trent and Jota are back in training, and Klopp mentioned to the tune of the extent that they've been doing some really good work in training, and I think they just joined two team training 2 or 3 days before the Atlanta tie, and he said that they could get minutes in a few games, so a start, 45 minutes, 60 minutes, something like that for Jota wouldn't surprise me. That, and with Gakpo's form, he's doing really well. His cameo against United was good as well. I was always very bullish on Darwin's expected minutes. I'm worried about his expected minutes in the doubles. But again, that Atlanta tie is going to determine who I go with and who I don't. And it needs understanding of whether Klopp is going to throw away the tie or not. Trent also is back in training. So, you know, people looking at Bradley, I think both Bradley and Trent are sort of non-options at the moment because Trent is coming back from a long injury. I don't think Klopp makes the same mistake of throwing him. I wouldn't be surprised to see a game each, you know, because of the congestion, etc. as well. And even if Trent is not playing, it could easily be Robertson and Gomez, you know. So maybe the pick is Van Dijk. You know, you try to get the center back, you try to spike a goal of a set piece, and that's your pick if you're on a free hit. Obviously, Arsenal and Liverpool need to be considered with a pinch of salt if buying right now, because if you're not free hitting and you're buying them and you're not wildcarding in Gaming 35, and you're sort of compromising on the amount of players that you have on Game Week 37. That said, they are the two best teams, two of the three best teams in the league at the moment. So there's a balance to be maintained. If you don't have marquee attackers like Salah, Saka, Havertz, even Luis Diaz, for example, and maybe an Arsenal defender, these kind of picks seem worth it. They're so above the field when it comes to attack and Arsenal defense, especially compared to other defenders, that I think you can take on Game Week 35 wildcarders in this position, in this space, where you're like, you're going to, you know, get defenders from shitty teams like Newcastle and United and Brighton and Chelsea and Spurs and maybe City 1-2 defenders. I'm going to go against you with an Arsenal team that's keeping a clean sheet almost every game. So, you know, that's the battle that's going to happen between game week wildcarders 35 versus non-wildcarders. Let me see if there's anything else to talk about. Not really. McAllister, actually, his underlying numbers have been pretty good, you know. They've got 3.07 NPXGI, so if you're looking for a cheap one, but I just think there are better attackers to take in. You know, why with Liverpool you always have to go for attackers? Let me talk about it. It's because they are the best attack in the league. Look at XG non-penalty for Liverpool last six, 14.84, way above the rest. So, you know, if you're on a free hit also, if you're looking to buy more players, I would want to double up. I wouldn't mind even tripling up on the attack. It depends on who plays the Atlanta tie again. So, you know, based on that. But their attack is good, man. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on Liverpool. Let's talk about Spurs now. Just give me a second. I've been rantling off. I'm going to listen to your chats, etc. for the next 1 minute while I just get some water. All right. Okay. The third team that has a good attacking number that I want to talk about, because a lot of people are interested in this team, are Spurs. They've got, you know, their top 3-4 XG in the last six games. So obviously they're a good attack, but in the last 4-5 games, they've got a lot of their first team players back. Their attack has been clicking. And I wanted to dive deeper into their numbers. And this is last six. And man, like Zoff would, I would obviously get the BJ joke out of it, out of here early, because Zoff likes BJ jokes. But yeah, man, I really like Brennan Johnson as a pick when I'm watching Spurs, right? They got like a template in place where neither Brennan Johnson nor Werner are sort of dribbling. As soon as they find the ball on the byline, they're looking to just drill it hard into the far post. And it's always where Werner is finding, trying to find Brennan Johnson, and Johnson is trying to find Werner. That said, Johnson is more the scorer and Werner is more the assister. I just think like Johnson is getting into the middle of the box a lot more then Werner is, and that's stated, that's shown here in the underlying data as well, where if you see the NPXG for Johnson is 3.34, which is the best in the Spurs team. You know, Son has 2.20, Werner has 2.54. So right now, Johnson is Spurs' best goal threat. It's somebody I'm very heavily, heavily considering on a game week 35 wildcard. And if you're somebody who's fleeting 34, Johnson just could be a decent buy in my opinion, because they're playing Newcastle. Newcastle are terrible in defense. So yeah, think about Johnson. Werner is also a decent pick, because what I think he does is he occupies a center forward spot, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, Werner's a decent pick. I just prefer Johnson. I trust his finishing. Son's man. A lot of people are very stupidly worried about Son as a pick. Yeah, he's not done it in the last 2 or 3 weeks, but it's Son, man. He's playing center forward for top 5 XG team in the country. And at the moment, historically, he's got enough credit in the bank where he's always performing over his expected data. A brace or a hat-trick. Decent captaincy option this week. A brace or a hat-trick isn't far away. Genuinely. Madison looks a little bit like he's not fully fit. It shows in the way he's playing. It shows in the underlying data. And Richarlison. We need to hear about Richarlison's fitness. But if Richarlison is fit, that's my problem with the Timo Werner pick. Because I feel like Son, Richarlison, and Werner are three players capable of playing left wing as well as center forward. And Richarlison puts Werner most at threat. So, yeah, you know, I'd be worried about Werner if Richarlison was fit. So that's my issue with the Werner pick. I just think Brennan Johnson is much more secure, much more first team, has better underlying data in that Spurs team. So that's to do with that. Now coming back to the chart this chart is made by FPL Radar. They do some incredible work in terms of the charts that they put out. So, you know, if you're not following them, make sure you follow them. Also a good time for a like and subscribe plug. You know, I'm not in the best of health, but I really wanted to put out content because we missed last week as well, right? So we don't do that at the FPL. We don't miss game week. So I really wanted to put content out there. I hope it's useful. If you've liked it, we're very close to 30k subs. It would be nice if we get there before the end of the season. So please click on like and subscribe. It really helps us. It really encourages us. And if you want to join the conversation with us, we have a Discord as well. You just need to subscribe to our Patreon on patreon.com/theFPLwire or become a member on YouTube, and then you can chat with all of us. We've got an amazing community on Discord as well. So, you know, if you want to hang with us, support us. A few things that I wanted to point out. City, they've got... So, you know, we saw a lot of rotation in the Crystal Palace game. But if you notice, before and after Crystal Palace, there was a 2-day gap and a 2-day gap only. When it comes to the Luton game, it's much more easier. They've got a 3-day gap before the Luton home game. And then they've got a 3-day gap after the Luton home game for a Real Madrid home game. So I'm not too worried. You know, people think that the Luton game, he's going to rest all his big dogs. I think Haaland starts. I think maybe one of Foden or Kev starts. I'm not too worried. And we're probably going to get news from leaks anyway. After that, they've got the FA Cup tie, and then they've got Brighton. City are not going to be in much conversation. But I think Haaland starts Luton. If you're thinking about selling him, don't. I think he starts. I think FML FPL also, Alon cited a few stats on his podcast this Tuesday where he said that in the last year in the Champions League, when it was a 2-leg tie for City, Haaland started the interim game on all 3 or 4 occasions. So that's something to keep in mind. And then I want to talk about the other teams that double in game week 34. Crystal Palace, again, if you look at game week 34, after their first game, they've got a 2-day gap before the second game for Crystal Palace. The same is the consideration for Everton. But it's worth noting that Crystal Palace, both games are home games, which works in their favor. Everton, they've got Forest at home, and then they've got Liverpool at home, which is also both home games. And the third game is also at home. Wouldn't worry too much about that. I think, yeah, Wolves. Wolves also have a 2-day gap. The other fixture is not pulling down here, but Wolves, there might be some rotation. There's a little bit of worry when it comes to Ait Nouri because, you know, he was pulled off early in the last 2 games as well. And, you know, I think Gary O'Neill mentioned that there was some sort of niggle, so they didn't want to take a chance, which is why he was. So we'll wait for Ait Nouri news today. Cool. Now what I'm going to do is, instead of getting into data, I'm just going to go game by game. And I'm going to look at the fixture ticker and whatever comes to my mind in terms of, you know, information, points, etc. I'm going to address that. And after that, I'm going to take your questions. So Newcastle versus Spurs. If you're somebody who's not going to wildcard in game week 35 and probably have a free hit in 34, buying a Newcastle or Spurs player this week is a good idea because I'm expecting goals in this game. Both defenses don't look that great. If you're looking at Newcastle defense, just a stat, I think since game week 15, they're the worst for XGC in the league. And 15 out of 17 occasions in this period, they conceded an XG between 1.7 to 7.7. I got this stat from Neil from Fantasy Football Scout. So that defense is terrible. That said, would you maybe buy a Newcastle defense for the run-in? Maybe, because look at the fixtures, right? If you're talking about playable games, you probably don't play them in game week 34 because you'll have defenders who double. You probably don't play them in game week 33. But if you're looking at like a vanity move so that you're setting up for the double in the future, they got Sheffield United home in 35. They got Burnley away in 36. Then they've got a double against Brighton and United. That said, I don't expect a clean sheet in 37. And they end against Brentford away. So they do have a couple of playable fixtures if you're looking at Newcastle defenders. Newcastle attackers, I'm interested in a lot more. Gordon, I took a punt on Barnes last week. Obviously, it went to fail. But I'm going to hold him and play him this week against Spurs because I think there's goals in this game. And Eddie Howe mentioned in his presser also that Barnes was rested because he's just coming back from injury. I expect Barnes to play left, Gordon to play right against Spurs. Hopefully, that's true. Spurs, we already spoke about. We looked at the numbers. Poro, happy for my man Zoff because he's got a lot of belief in Poro. He's got the highest shots in the league, 10 more than anybody else, I think. And he finally got his goal. Also, he took all the corners until Lo Celso came on in the 75th minute. So that's something that's beneficial for Poro owners if you're looking to buy a Spurs defender at the moment. Expecting goals in this game, I think Son is a good captaincy option because I just see like a 2-2, 3-3 chaotic game. I don't see any other way for this game. Burnley, Brighton, not much to talk about from a FPL point of view. If you're somebody who's, again, free hitting 35 and looking to move like a, like just a move, keeping 37 in mind, Brighton's defensive numbers have been pretty stable. I know Zoff is looking at João Pedro as a punt. He's just coming back from fitness. But it is worth noting that Brighton's attacking numbers have gone down massively. Their defensive numbers are fairly decent. And just look at their double. They've got Newcastle away and Chelsea at home. Actually, I fancy this double for attackers, not as much for defenders. But Pedro could come into play by the time game week 37 arrives. So that's that. Forest versus Wolves. I wanted to talk about Forest because under Nuno Espirito Santo, Chris Wood has now 9 goals in 10 games. Just the legend that Chris Wood is, man. If somebody is looking for a move where they need to find money, going down to a Chris Wood isn't a bad idea because Forest just have some playable fixtures. They've got Wolves at home this week. They've got Everton away 34. They've got Sheffield United away in 36. They've got Chelsea at home in 37, which in my opinion is a decent fixture. Even if you're a bench booster in 37, playing Chris Wood, if you're looking to money manage, isn't a bad idea in my opinion because the underlying numbers are just better. Are really good rather than better. Wolves, Cunha has seen 2 or 3 cameos in a row. Ait Nouri, we have to wait for a fitness update today in the press conference. Liverpool, we already discussed. Crystal Palace. Yeah, there's been a lot of shitting on Eze as a pick, where there's a lot of Crystal Palace fans that think that he doesn't fit in the system. He didn't really do well against City as well. But it's worth noting that City purposefully doubled down on Eze and they thought that this would shut out the Crystal Palace attack, right? So it's worth noting that I'm expecting by the time double game week 34 comes into play, Olise will be fit. And when Eze and Olise play together, Crystal Palace are a different beast. Teams don't have to single-mindedly focus on Eze alone. So that's something to keep in mind, you know, for your free hit 34 conversation, which we'll dive into a lot deeper a lot later. Munoz, the wing-back, was really, really attacking. He likes to just be present in the center of the box when Crystal Palace are attacking. So again, a good pick for 34. Focus on them comes into place for 34. They've got West Ham and Newcastle at home, if I'm not mistaken. Crystal Palace, yes. So good double, if you ask me. And Mateta is somebody who people are going to find interesting as a pick in 34 as well. So, you know, these are the picks that free hitters are going to be looking at. Mateta looks like he's in a form. I think Glasner spoke about how he's running the channels as well as finishing well at the moment. So, you know, that's that on Crystal Palace. If you're somebody who's not wildcarding in 35, can you afford to buy Crystal Palace? The fixtures look all right, yeah? So if you can bench your players, they're playable in Fulham away in 35. Even United at home is a good fixture. Our defense is terrible. And Wolves away in 37 is a decent fixture for your Crystal Palace assets if you're bench boosting, you know. I don't think it's a terrible play if you want to, if you don't have chips and are looking to buy Crystal Palace players. Arsenal versus Aston Villa. We already spoke about Arsenal in detail. Aston Villa, yeah, Douglas Luiz, that's the main one, man. He's not going to be playing 33 in the first game in, and for them only one game in 34. So I think that's good for Arsenal attackers because since Kamara got injured, I think Aston Villa as a team are bottom five for XGC as well as shots conceded. So it's just not looking good at the moment. And they also had a European game on Thursday where they pretty much played their first choice team, I think. And that's that, yeah. Villa, from an FPL point of view, we don't have much interest in anything Aston Villa at the moment because they don't double in 34 or 37 at the moment. And I think there are better strikers on offer. Brentford versus Sheffield United. A couple of teams I want to touch upon because Brentford, Ivan Toney's. Toney's got an incredible fixture this week. And, you know, Sheffield United away, not that good. I wanted to talk about Brentford because they're one of those teams that don't really have a double in 34 or 37, but they've got incredible fixtures. Sheffield United home, Luton away, Everton away, Fulham at home in 36, Bournemouth away in 37, and Newcastle at home. Somebody who's saying, you know, screw the doubles, I'm going to focus on fixtures. Ivan Toney just is a good pick. Doesn't have extra games, but has got incredible fixtures. Sheffield United are somebody we're going to talk about when we talk about free hit 34, because I feel like Brereton Diaz, This guy's got brace potential in him, and the fixtures for Sheffield United in the double are Burnley at home and Man United away. Two incredible defenses to play against. So if you're looking for a one game, 1 week punt, if you're on free hit in 34, Diaz or McBurney, could be interesting. They're right now, I think they've accepted the fate that they're going to go down, and they're playing a little freely. There's no inhibitions in the way they're playing, and there's a punt there. Especially Diaz, I think he's got brace potential. So it could be interesting. All right. What do we have next? Man, when you're going solo, your throat really takes a beating. City versus Luton. City aren't a really good defense at the moment, so that's something to be wary about. There are picks in their defense, in my opinion. There are picks in their attack, but I think Haaland starts. I think Foden will start as well. I think that he got his rest. I think there's an extra day of rest on either side for City attackers. De Bruyne was in the team for Real Madrid, as I understand, but then he fell ill. So we need to hear from Pep today. But I wouldn't be too worried. And do you go for so people like me who are free hitting in 34 and wildcarding in 35, do you go for an Alvarez? If he's open as a punt, I think I go for him. As long as Haaland doesn't start. Because if Haaland starts, then Alvarez isn't the center focus for the City attack. If Haaland doesn't start, Alvarez becomes a much better pick. So it depends on that and what kind of news we get in the league. So, you know, wait for Saturday. See if you want to play the league game. And City defenders, can you buy City defenders right now? I think you can buy City defenders right now. The ones I would probably buy are maybe Diaz. He looks like the safest when it comes to expected minutes. Akanji, maybe you can go for. But when it comes to buying City defenders for double game week 37, I would like to postpone that decision as far as possible and make that decision and commit to the City defense as close as possible to game week 37. What are their fixtures like for City? Man, clean sheet fixtures all the way. Luton at home, Brighton away, Forest away, Wolves at home, Fulham away. Spurs away is tough, but yeah, they've got good fixtures, man. Fulham, by the way, we'll talk about them when they come to it. Bournemouth United. Wanted to mention that Solanke in the last four games has only 3 shots. So he's not looking that attacking. In fact, in the last game, he had to drift wide because they didn't have any wingers. And I think Unalzo, I forgot his name. He played center forward and they've got some injury issues. So if you have him and you can't really transfer him out for game 34, if you're not free hitting, feel free to. I think it's a position where we could consider swerving on free hit 34 as well. United, don't touch our defenders at the moment, except Onana maybe, because you can at least get saves. But we're a terrible defense. We've conceded 20 shots, like I mentioned, 5 games in a row now. Terrible defense, but our attackers are good picks. Bruno's getting some returns off late. Garnacho is a good pick. Hoyland, right now, he's not done much in the last. And I know that Zoff mentioned to me that he's in the market for a striker and he's contemplating between Joao Ladro. and Haaland. I don't mind Haaland as a pick because he's going to start. I don't expect him. He maybe misses one game if there is a fixture congestion, and then Ten Hag says he's going to play Rashford up front, and then he's going to play Antony and Garnacho on the wings. But Haaland should start, in my opinion. His underlying numbers for the last three games look bad, but that's because he's had 45 and then two games. One of them was against Liverpool. Before that, he had some 8 returns and 5 starts. So he's capable of getting you a streak of returns. And I just think you take a chance on Haaland. If you're in the market between Haaland and Pedro, I still prefer Haaland. Because I think, however terrible we are in defense and however we are not capable of controlling games, our attack is capable of scoring goals. So that's my position on United. West Ham versus Fulham, not much to talk about at the moment. Bowen was injured. He didn't play the game in the European game. Good game for Fulham also because West Ham have an important European tie on either side. So we've seen some rotation happen when this happens. Chelsea versus Everton. Now, Chelsea, I remember, have failed to beat a lot of these teams that tend to bus park, man. I think they failed to beat Burnley. They failed. But let me get that stat. Chelsea have failed to beat Sheffield United, Burnley and Brentford in the last 5 game weeks. A problem Pochettino must solve in game week 33. So yeah, they tend to do not that great in the last 5 game weeks. We know what we're expecting when it comes to Chelsea. Jekyll and Hyde team. Gusto was, I think, ill or fatigued in the last game. I'm expecting him to start this game. Right, I think that's it. Covering everything I need to from this game week point of view. Captaincy. Obviously, Liverpool, Mo Salah is, I think, going to be the captain that everybody is probably going to look at. Decent pick, but I just want to mention that Salah just hasn't looked the same for a while. Like, even against the chances, the easy chances that he got against United that he missed, it's unlike Salah to miss those chances. His underlying numbers are great. They're the best in the league at the moment. And, you know, it takes one game for a player to come back into form. But can you swerve against a Salah? Maybe. The fixtures that I like from a captaincy point of view, if you get news that Haaland is starting, you're maybe expecting 65-70 minutes against Luton at home, but worth taking a pop. And I really like Son as a captaincy this week as well. Do you take a chance on Arsenal against Aston Villa? Maybe Kai, if you have to swerve. I wouldn't go Saka because we just don't know how leggy or how fit he is at the moment. And I won't be surprised to see 60-65 minutes again. So, Salah, Son. Son, great fixture in my opinion. Good captaincy option. And if you see Haaland starting, I think that's a good captaincy option as well. If you're somebody who's chasing and Haaland is not starting that we see on Saturday, and we see that Alvarez is starting, maybe you go there as well. But Crystal Palace aren't... They're a bad defense, but they're not a terrible defense. I feel like Newcastle and Luton defenses are worse. That's all. And Salah just hasn't looked the same. That said, he's got penalties. I don't blame you for swerving it. You know, I need to... One thing that I have as a weakness as an FPL player is for thinking of a player and teams that get 5 penalties through a season. So you think that maybe a player gets 1 pen in 6 games, 7 games. So every time a penalty-taking player who plays for the team like Chelsea or Liverpool who tend to win more penalties, there's about a 15% or 20% chance that that player gets a goal through penalties alone. So you need to... The chance of a haul just increases massively because it's 1 pen plus 1 open play goal for a player like Salah, who's dominating underlying statistics as well. So, you know, you got to keep that in mind. I'm going to do questions later, so hold on to them, guys. And, you know, just wanted to highlight Salah's numbers because when it comes to XGI, he's still best in the league in the last 6 matches at the moment. So, you know, chalk captain for a reason. Just know that he hasn't looked the same player. So if you're somebody who's chasing in your mini leagues and wants to swerve, I think Son and Haaland present opportunities if you want to swerve. Phil Foden, if we get leak news that he's starting, somebody who we could just get in right now because centrally he's just a different beast. What a goal against Madrid as well. The form of his life at the moment. Cool. Bus teams very quickly. This is my team. I've got Kelleher, Etnuri, Gabriel, Gusto, Salah, Palmer. Palmer's not my captain at the moment. My bus team captain is probably Haaland, Vaison, Salah, Saka, Barnes, Son, Haaland and Darwin. I'm a little worried about Darwin's expected minutes also. But I'm going to wait until Saturday to make the news based on what happens at the press conferences today. I'm looking for a 1-week punt. So, you know, if Aitnuri is not fit, then I remove a defender. If Haaland's not playing, I remove him. It's based on this kind of news and it's a 1-week punt that I'm looking at. I know. So I'm looking at Brennan Johnson as a punt maybe in that fixture or at that game. So we'll see what happens. I'm looking at Alvarez. I'm looking at a City player as a punt. I'm looking at Kai as a punt based on my feelings and vibes tomorrow. This is Zofa's team. He's got Petrovic. Man, I feel bad for him. He's doubled up on the Chelsea defense. Probably something I'll have to do in 35 anyway, but that defense looks terrible at the moment. Gusto, Van Heck, Gabriel, Palmer, Son, Saka, Salah, Isak, Solanke, and Haaland. I think the move that he's looking at with a bench boost 37 in mind is that he's looking to sell Solanke and maybe get Ladro or Haaland. All right, that's it from me. I'm going to take some questions now. Just give me a minute. Man, I hope you guys like this. Shlok, yeah, I like Son as captain, so I might not be surprised. And especially because people have lost faith in Son at the moment, right? So it's a good way to go differential at the moment. He's capable of exploding in any game. Okay, the questions have started coming. For a non-free hit manager like me, does it make sense to hold on to Darwin for 34 for the double game week? Oh, you hold Darwin for the double game week. And then more, man. If you made your bet, it makes stupid to transfer out a double game week player before 34. Definitely hold on to him. Please talk about wildcard this week and bench boost 34. Also free 37. If you're wildcarding this week and you're bench boosting in 34, then you go 3 Arsenal, you go 3 Liverpool, you go maybe 1 or 2. Tough wildcard this week, because then how are you getting 6 Spurs players for the double in 35? That's something that you need to worry about. Zoff saying, lovely job, LR. Cheers, Zoff. Hope you feel better. Looking forward to the 3 of us. Best differential Liverpool player? Easy answer, Luis Diaz. His underlying numbers look incredible. Luis Diaz. I think he's probably a better pick than Darwin Nunez at the moment. I spoke about Pedro. What do you think about Mac Allister as a differential? I don't like Mac Allister as a differential because I think there are better picks. My top 3 picks from Liverpool, as things stand, before knowing what the Atlanta away lineup looks like, are Van Dijk, Mo Salah, and Luis Diaz. I think that's probably going to be the chalk free hit for 34. All right, guys, I think... let's see this. Maguire nailed for United defense. It looks like Maguire's nailed, yes. In my opinion, he looks nailed for... best cheap defenders for BB37. Let's look at this. That's an interesting question. Let's look at the fixtures. Who do you have? You've got Chelsea. I think Gusto is still a good pick because he's attacking as hell. Yeah, even though the defensive numbers are terrible. I don't like Brighton defenders because they play Newcastle and Chelsea. Both teams I expect to score. I think you get a City defender in there. United defense also, Arsenal and Newcastle. Not a fan of. I think Spurs defenders by virtue of elimination is somewhere you go. I wouldn't mind going for like a Vicario or like a VDV who scored for me this week, by the way. I got some bench jam. And a Newcastle defender like Shar, who tends to score, or Botman, you know, who's got some... Burn. He's playing centre-back now. He should play centre-back until the end of the season. I think maybe there. And I think also, if you're buying right now, not just buy defenders that maybe don't have a double game week, that have a good fixture in game week 37, like Everton defense, right? They've got Sheffield United at home in 37. If you're somebody who's wildcarding now, getting in an Everton defender like Braithwaite or a Pickford is a decent idea because they've got a double in 34. They've got good fixtures after that. Brentford at home, Luton away, Sheffield United at home in 37. I think Ait Nouri also, for example, he's just an incredible attacker at the moment. He's got 7 shots in the last 4 games, 4 big chances in the last 4 games. He's playing like an attacker. Might not last for long because they've got Wang coming back. They've got Cunha coming back. But that said, even if him playing at wing back, he's just an incredible attacker at the moment. So even if you're wildcarding right now, I wouldn't swerve on Ait Nouri because he's one of those cheap defenders that is capable of points returns on both sides of the pitch. Keeping Salah essential for gaming 35 to 38? No, I don't think it's essential. I think you can swerve there. Especially since he's not looking like the same player that he was. Alright guys, my throat is absolutely done at the moment. I hope you enjoyed this effort. I enjoyed going solo. It was much easier than I thought. I think not being distracted, looking at the chat and just looking at the tables in front of me and talking about the things I wanted to cover led to a stream of consciousness thought. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you support us by clicking like and subscribe, and I promise you the 3 of us will be back next week. Until then, good luck. I think Zoff and I are on free hit. I think my friend from FML FPL, Alon, is also on free hit. So we might do a pod next week and we might even do a separate free hit draft. So click on like and subscribe, and I'll see you next week, guys. Take care.
Sports Social Podcast Network.